At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon, and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Visa. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Covering the sports betting landscape from coast to coast, this is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue Betting Across America here at Circa Sportsbook, presented by BetMGM, Dave Ross, alongside Amal Shaw. And that was a cool camera move. Did you see that to begin the show today?
I did not.
We are getting highfalutin here at Circa. I don't know the exact terms, push-pull, obviously, you know how that works. But it was like a slow and then a dissolve into you and I. Very dramatic effect to begin the three-hour show.
I was a little disappointed in the previous segment, though. We were looking at ourselves. I wanted to see Femi and Wes.
I did, too. Couldn't see him. But they sounded great. Great job the last couple hours over at South Point.
Can I do one housekeeping thing before we get started? Can I just send a shout out to Brian Ortega and his mom,
yes!
Mrs. Ortega? Thank you for all the cookies. Dave, I came in early today because I needed to grab some lunch.
Yeah.
I ate enough peanut butter cookies that I don't have to eat lunch.
I had one of the banana nut muffins. I don't like banana nut. It was delicious. That's when you know it's really good. I like banana muffins, but everybody gets banana nut.
Yeah.
Who gets banana? I'm a little bit particular that way. Mike Piranha is going to join us here, hour number one from Mandalay Bay. We're going to talk to Annie McNeil in hour number two to talk a little hockey, which you and I are going to discuss here, as that series feels like it has some life. And Sean Zarrillo is going to join us in hour number three from the Action Network to break down everything in Major League Baseball. But let's begin on the ice. And we mentioned it with Femi and Wes, and kudos to you, sir, last night for not just backing Tampa in game five, but backing Tampa down 3-1 at 8-1. And I'm with you, the way you handicap that, and I know most people, and look, it still could end in 6, certainly could end in 7 back home in Colorado for the Avs. But the price point got to be too inflated for what you observed in the first 4 games.
Absolutely. You bring up a great point. You look at game number 1, goes to overtime 4-3 in favor of the Avalanche on home ice. You expect that to a certain extent. Game 2, dominant performance. They beat them by a touchdown. Game 3, Tampa comes out, their hair on fire, 6-2, Vasilevsky dominant, so were the Lightning. And then game 4 could have gone either way. I thought the bounce that Colorado got on their second goal to get things level was huge in their favor. And after that, it was smooth sailing. In obviously, coming back, you think, okay, we got to win just one out of the next 3 games. But I thought if Tampa steals game 5, I'm really confident they're going to win game 6. Now, I will end up taking Colorado in game 6 on the money line.
Okay.
Just to kind of hedge my position.
Sure.
I don't want to lay the big juice so far with Colorado. And then we get to game 7. Pressure for this team in Colorado. You've got all the talent. You got to win now. Tampa, been there, done that.
Oh, man.
This is nothing new.
Best goaltender in the world.
Without question.
And again, last 2 games, even though they lost game 4 in overtime, right? Now you're playing, to me, stylistically, what Tampa wants to do. Slow it down. A couple unders have hit now with the last couple games here. Vasilevsky, we're not in these wild, you know, 7-0 games. And by the way, it was still bizarre they didn't pull him in that game. But maybe they found something there. Who knows? Because since then, even in losing game four, Vasilevsky's been so much better. 2 goals, 3 goals, 2 goals. So all of a sudden now, you don't need 5 goals to win if you're Tampa. If Vasilevsky can hold the Avs down in game six, and by the way, you saw the price point here for if you think the series is going to go 7 games, minus $1.15. Well, let me do some math for you here. Right now, Tampa's a small home dog in game six. If you like the total games to be 7 games, play Tampa at plus money in game six versus minus $1.15 for the series to go 7.
Absolutely right. That's a great point. Very astute observation by you, and that's crucial when you're looking at some of these. This is how you can be very profitable in these scenarios. Look, I don't know if I'm going to win the Tampa 8-1, but even if I do, I'm not going to win the full freight. A guy like me never is.
Because you're going to chip. You know that there's going to be a spot here where you've got the best value at 8-1. If it goes 7, you've got money in your pocket. Just got to figure out the other way.
So Mike and I are on the same side of this, Mike Palm and I. Mm-hmm. We tend to be more conservative in terms of hedging. I'll give you a perfect example. In game number 4, I had Tampa. Start of the third period, you could have gotten Colorado plus 270. So now I took Colorado for a little bit more than 25% of my original wager just to mitigate my risk.
Okay.
And, minimize it. I said, I still think Tampa's going to win. They don't end up winning. But I want to put myself in a position where I'm reducing some liability. Now, sometimes you say, well, you cut into profit. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time. But you know how many times you save yourself? You don't recall so many scenarios where it's so beneficial for you in terms of losses. And, you know, you've been around sports long enough. Anything can happen in these games. I mean, how many times
do you see a key injury? We saw, you go back to Draymond Green not being there for game six when the Cavaliers in that series, it changed the whole complexion when they were down 3-1, much like Tampa being down 3-1 here. And I mentioned the number there. It's minus $1.05, but still better value than minus $1.15 at BetMGM. Here at Circuit, the big board behind us, it is plus money, plus $1.09. So again, shop around. So when you see some of these numbers for how many games you think the series is going to go, conversely, if you do think it's going to go 7, find the best number for Tampa that you can get if it's better than minus $1.15. And right now, market-wide, it's better than a minus $1.15. You make a little bit more profit that way.
When you look at this series, Dave, and you and I were talking about this before we came on air, and we talked about it with Femi and Wes, the series has been fairly level.
It has.
If you take away the goal differential, which right now, last two games, has been even. Tampa plus 4 in game 3, minus 7 in game 2, and minus game 1. I mean, okay, so you sit there and say, okay, you have a 4-goal differential. Mm-hmm. But still, at the end of the day, the series has been very tight. 3 of the 5 games could have gone either way.
Oh, yes.
And so that's where I feel like now you come back here. If you're Colorado, I got to tell you right now, you've got to win this game. You're in a situation where you have to figure out a way to win game 6, because now if you're traveling back to Denver, that team with that experience,
oh man,
in my opinion, not only one of the best coach in National Hockey League, but one of the best coaches in sports. You know what I love about John Cooper? I know he was a little bit frustrated with the too many men on the ice call in game 4. His disposition. Never too high, never too low. And I admire guys like that because that's not me.
Yeah.
And
not me either. I'm going to fly off of the handle sometimes.
That's exactly right. And so I respect guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm a huge Joe Torre fan. When Joe Torre did the interview for game 7 after they lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks, I did not know if I'm just watching the post game. If Joe Torre won or lost the World Series.
That's exactly right. And look, Cooper, if that's animated Coop after game 4, right? When he was like, I'm not going to say it. We're just going to take a day.
Yeah.
And then he took the day and then said basically what he said. But like, there was an old SNL bit, if you remember, when Michael Dukakis was running for president against George Bush. Mm-hmm. And they played Michael Dukakis. And if you remember him, he just, the knock on him was he had no emotion.
Right.
So he says, well, you know, I'm going to do what's best for the American people. And I'm sorry if I got upset just now, but I get really angry sometimes. And frankly, I just want to apologize for that outburst. Like, that's John Cooper. Like, he never gets that upset about anything. So even Cooper, and he was mad after what was too many men in the ice. But then I saw so many people that said, well, Tampa had too many men in the ice. Well, you can be X, you know, feet away, but you can't be that. Like, it is such a gray area in those things. And to me, it's like, if you don't have rules, you have anarchy. So if you're not going to enforce the rules, people take leeway with the rules. So I don't know where you stand on this whole controversy of game four, but I am so surprised that they were able to overcome that, go to Colorado, and win a nip-tuck survival game the way they did, coming on the heels of that controversy of game four.
I'm not surprised in this sense. I think it was just frustration post-game. You know, you've been in locker rooms, for people that are unaware, after the game ends, media
cooling off.
There's a 10-minute cooling off period before there's access to the locker room. Sometimes it'll be a little bit longer. And, you know, this is an emotional game. You know, so many times for casual fans or people that may not have as much vested, you just kind of walk away, turn off the TV, and get on with your life. You know, for a lot of players, and I always love it when the guys take it so hard. I never forget, somebody asked the dumbest question in the history of sports. Mavericks get eliminated at the end of the regular season and or close to it. And this producer from Mavs Insider asked Vince Carter, why are you taking this loss so hard? I wanted to say to the guy, how do you have a job?
Right.
And you know, they need that cooling off period. And I just thought, when you look at it, that John Cooper was just expressing frustration. I did not think it should have been called. And the reason I say that is, and I look, full disclosure, I have Tampa. I need Tampa, and I needed them to win the game. But the reason why my argument is that you can make, on the exchange, there are always 6 to 7 guys on the ice within a certain...
Well, that's the thing. There's a gray area of how far you can kind of get away from the actual line change. And maybe, because it's like cherry picking and defense and basketball, where, you know, you kind of just... You're going to play 5-on-4. And that's the concept here is, if you can kind of stretch that line change a little bit, maybe you get a little bit ahead of the pack here, and that leads to some open ice.
But in overtime, the shifts are much quicker.
Yep.
The changes are much more frequent. So I think that happens, and I think that was part of the issue. I don't believe that's the reason they lost the game. You know, so for me, I'm not going to sit there and use that as an excuse. And I think Cooper's team rebounded very well. I'll tell you what, that's going to be a tough ticket in Tampa tomorrow night. That place is going to be fired up. And you talk about the biggest game, home game, probably in Denver sports history, or at least since... Think about this, because when the Broncos won their Super Bowls, they're not at home.
No.
And so now you're...
I think of those AFC title games.
Against the Browns?
Yeah.
Thanks for the reminder, Dave. Is that getting
me
back?
Fumble.
I thought Ernest Biner was in, by the way.
Ernest Biner, I could... Jeremiah Castile, right? Is the guy that knocked it away for the Broncos. Yeah. I watched it live. Dick Enberg, oh my, what a call on NBC that day. I still can't believe he didn't get in the end zone and somehow fumbled that ball. And by the way, we're getting on the officials a little bit. I know Tampa's getting on the officials. Cooper got on a little bit, whether it was too many, many days. We do this in sports society. For them to get that right in real speed, and they didn't have replay back then, is amazing.
I want to defend two things real quick here. I never get on the officials for one particular reason. I think they have one of the toughest jobs, right? Like, they're like an insurance company or a bank. You don't know how good or bad one is until you have a problem.
True.
And to me, I think the fact that people get on officials in the professional ranks, it filters down to the collegiate level, into youth sports, and that's why you don't see so many officials there. I think it's a big problem. I don't have any kids, so if youth sports goes away, I'm not crying. All I'm saying to you is the reality of it is these people are not being paid a ton of money to volunteer their time and go do this, and the way they're treated is absolutely absurd. I think people should be a lot more considerate in how quick the game moves.
Agreed. I will also say this. I was one hell of an intramural softball umpire. When we come back, craziness ensued, and I mean craziness in the betting market before the NBA draft. We'll discuss when you come back with us. Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have
have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
day.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue Betting Across America here at Circus Sportsbook. Dave Ross alongside Amal Shaw. And again, I really just love the camera move that we did. So I'm imploring our people. I want to see that again before the show's over. It was fantastic. You didn't even notice it.
I did not, Dave.
It's a cool, like it's a wide, it shows Circa and all the numbers and the people watching all the sporting events like we are. As I watch Xander Schauffele.
I thought you're going to say we are Penn State.
And I told you in the break, I'm a little bit mad at myself again. One, that I didn't take Tampa at 8-1 like you did. Two, I didn't play Xander Schauffele this week, who's got a 3-shot lead right now at the Travelers up there in Hartford, Connecticut. Who could have got him 20-1?
Who just missed that putt?
Patrick Cantlay.
I'm glad he did since he's being sponsored by Goldman Sachs.
Kid doesn't
kidding,
have enough
I'm
money. What if Goldman Sachs decided to be the sponsor of this show? Would you wear a hat then?
I would. I shouldn't criticize. I have a couple of friends that work there still.
I'm sure they're doing all right.
Yeah, they are.
Let's talk about some of your A-listers here before we get to your rookie of the year candidates after what we saw in the NBA draft. And I detailed it a little bit going to break how just the Calamity Jane aspect of the draft and the craziness that ensued. And it all started, obviously, when Woj put out his Woj bombs from ESPN on Twitter, because real life, it's all on Twitter.
Right.
So, you know, he basically puts out how this is going to go, and Smith's going to go one, and, you know, Banchero's going to go three, I believe, right. and all this stuff. And then, of course, Banchero goes one, and it was almost like the steam was still going
right.
opposite of what Woj was tweeting.
Sure.
So you have these insiders, and Wojnarowski is an insider. There's no other way to describe that. Why he would say such things, I don't know. But it did feel like almost like Vegas versus the insiders, and Vegas won.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, if you are Orlando, I think it was a really close race between all three players. I don't think it's anything, you know, that should come as that much of a surprise. I didn't realize the numbers had gotten so out of whack, and I just think it was simply a bet on the number. This was not a scenario where you had a player of like Shaquille O'Neal's caliber or, you know, somebody that was just so far ahead of the curve that you thought, oh my gosh, Paolo Banchero going number one. It wasn't like when Michael Bennett, the kid out of UNLV, went number one with the Cavaliers.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, Banchero was a guy that I think you had to strongly consider when you look at his size, his ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter, everything. I don't think it's like that much of a shock. It could have been Holmgren, could have been Jabari Smith. I thought Smith would go number one just simply because when I look at his shooting potential in a game where the floor is spread out, I think he's got tremendous upside. But I don't even actually think any of those three guys are going to be the best players in this draft.
Whoa. Who do you think it's going to be?
And I hate to say it because our producer, Elliot, is huge Purdue guy, but I'm going with Jaden Ivey. Think about this, okay? Jaden Ivey is a bigger, and keep this in mind when I'm going to say this, more athletic Ja Morant.
Whoa. Okay, bigger, yes. 6'4". More athletic than Ja Morant?
You know, people confuse athleticism just with simply with the ability to leap and jump, right?
And handles.
I'll give him that. But Jaden Ivey is a guy. You know, here's my criticism of John Morant. Terrific player. But when he's not in the lineup, they had a tremendous record.
Yep.
And I think too many times when he's on the floor, they get caught ball watching him play 1v5. And I'm not saying he's a Kyrie Irving where he's a ball hog, but I think that Ja's a terrific player, but they've got some pretty good players around him. You look at Jaren Jackson was the number 4 overall pick. Mm-hmm. Desmond Bane has emerged nicely for this team. Dylan Brooks, the kid out of Oregon, has also been consistent. But Jaden Ivey, with the way the NBA game is, he is a one-on-one type of player. I think he's going to flat-out flourish. He can shoot the ball. He's improved his three-point shooting from his freshman year to his sophomore year. In Detroit, with that backcourt of Cade Cunningham, you let Cade be ball dominant. Man. You let Ivey play off the ball. I think this guy could be a potential huge threat at the two.
You know, and I like where your head's at there. +6-1 right now, if you think that Ivey can go ahead and be rookie of the year. I'm with you. I did tweet, and I remember doing this during the NCAA tournament, that, you know, Banchero, when I was watching him at Duke, even in the loss, I just went, this is the best player I've seen in college basketball. Like, you could see how much he grew in the NCAA tournament. Where Ivey, you could almost feel like he was being held back in the NCAA tournament. It is weird what the tournament does. Because for two guys that obviously both lottery picks, top 5 picks, one guy really started to take off when the lights were the brightest. And I'm not saying that Ivey took a step back, but it almost felt like against St. Peter's, you're like, what? How are you not dominating this game? And that would be my one concern, but I'm with you. The situation that he goes to in Detroit is fantastic for Ivey.
I love the argument you gave, and I think it's one that scouts use frequently, and I think it's one of the most absurd and overused arguments in the NBA draft.
The NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, guy played well for 2-3 games all of a sudden.
He did.
You know, Caleb Love was tremendous. I was looking at next year's draft board. He's not even anywhere in the top 30.
Right.
Peyton Watson for UCLA. If you ask the average person who didn't follow the Pac-12 or don't follow recruiting, they wouldn't know who this kid is. I think he's from Long Beach Poly. And, you know, to me, he ends up in the first round. People are looking at their programs going, who is this guy? And so many times I think there's too much credit given based on 2 or 3 performances. To me, I want to see the entire body of the work. He played in a competitive league. Keegan Murray goes in the first round. You got Johnny Davis going in the first round. I know Kofi Coburn didn't get drafted, but he's a big man in there, creates some problems. EJ Liddell goes in the second round, could have been a first round. Malachi Branham goes in the first round. You got Trace Jackson Davis at Indiana. He has played in a competitive league. I think he has been one of the best players. And I just think there are certain guys whose game is tailor-made for a certain kind of style. And I think Jaden Ivey's game, with the way the floor is spread out in the NBA, is ideal for it.
Kevin Durant, when he wasn't tweeting at Charles Barkley, did tweet out that it's a wings league, right? When I look at your A-listers here for 2022-2023, Roy, Rookie of the Year, I see a lot of wings. I see a lot of guys that, you know, even Holmgren, which is going to be an interesting... Is he a 3? Is he a 4? Is he going to put a 5? Like, you know, we're in this era of positionless basketball.
Yes.
Like, I don't even know if I call Steph Curry a point guard. He's guard.
I like that.
Right?
Right.
He's a guard. So, like, I look at a lot of these players and I go, are they 3s? Are they 4s? Are they 2s? Does it really matter? Because they're all going to be kind of like Jason Tatum's, where maybe give me the ball on the wing and let me go to work.
Jason Tatum, to me, is the ideal 3. You look at, I think Jaden Ivey is a 2 in my opinion. I think, what is Paolo Banchero? Is he a 3 or is he a 4? Right?
Feels like he's going to be a 3.
Yeah.
But he's got the size to be a 4.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? You do have these tweeners, but tweeners back in the day was like, oh, cautionary tale. Got a guy in between positions. Now, it doesn't feel like that's a cautionary tale.
Real quick, I want to give everyone that list. It was Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren.
Jaden Ivey,
and Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. And Banchero's 3-1, Smith 3.5-1, Holmgren +475, Ivey 6-1, and Murray 9-1. I'm going to tell you a guy who I think could also have a tremendous rookie year is Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray can score the basketball. I know he struggled in that game where Iowa got beat. I forgot who they lost to in the tournament. But if you look at it, this guy was prolific all year long scoring the basketball. He can shoot the ball from the perimeter. He can put the ball on the floor. He's another guy who I think can flourish. And the other thing that I like about Keegan Murray is I like his background. His dad went to Iowa. I believe he played football at Iowa. I could be mistaken, or it might have been basketball. But I love his disposition. I think this kid's going to do very well as a pro. I think he's a guy that's going to be focused. I think he's going to excel. He can shoot the ball very well. To me, I look at Ivey and Murray as your two choices for Rookie of the Year, and the reason is because I think all 5 of these teams are going to have their issues. But I think these guys are really going to flourish in the NBA game. Not saying that Banchero and Smith and Holmgren won't. I just feel like it's a little bit more challenging when you're a big man having to play against more physical guys. These guys are all fairly skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ivy and Murray can really flourish scoring the ball.
Let's go back not that long ago to one of the more iconic NBA drafts, and that's when the T-Wolves had back-to-back picks at 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some point guards that you might remember that were in that draft, right?
You going to say Johnny Flynn?
Well, Johnny Flynn was there. Ricky Rubio was this kid coming out of Spain that nobody really knew about, but people loved him. Like, there was hype about Ricky Rubio, right? You talk about the tournaments and sometimes how the perception of a tournament can alter the way GMs and scouts view a player. The great Johnny Flynn played in one of the more iconic Big East tournament games of all time, the 6-overtime game against UConn, right? He was the most valuable player of that Big East tournament, right? I remember distinctly when the T-Wolves were up and they had two point guards. They needed a point guard. They drafted two of them. And they said, you know what? I'm going to take a shot at not only this kid out of Spain, Ricky Rubio, but I'll take the sure thing in Johnny Flynn. And then Steph Curry went 7 to Golden State.
Well, Steph could shoot the basketball, but I understand the criticism going against him from a scouting standpoint. Would he be able to get a shot off? I got to tell you right now, I forget the fact that Steph's turned into one of the greatest players of all time, but I want to go back to Johnny Flynn. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm making that pick, I make that Johnny Flynn draft pick 100 out of 100 times. I thought Johnny Flynn at Syracuse was going to be an absolute stud.
So did I.
Could not be more wrong in terms of how his career turned out.
We were wrong.
But, Dave, I got to tell you, he was tremendous. I thought he was so good. He could handle the basketball. He could distribute the basketball. He could knock down the three-point shot. I thought he was going to be a guy. The only concern I had, he was like 6'1", and maybe that might have been a little bit generous. But for the most part, I said, this kid's going to flourish. It just didn't work out.
Is there any Steph Currys here? My point being that they're overlooking somebody, and you know we're going to look back in a couple of years and go, how did you pass on X at 7'8"?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you who I think is going to be a tremendous scorer is Malachi Branham,
yeah,
just because of his size.
I'm a Johnny Flynn stan. I guess. I mean, I thought, wow, T-Wolves, gonna go two point guards. Who does that? They did. They just got the wrong one. Three point guards in a row. They had two picks, and they didn't get Steph Curry. That's gonna sting the nostrils. When we come back, let's talk a little NFL and how it might affect some of your future wagers as we get closer and closer to football season. Yes, speak it into existence. Come on back, Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We continue Betting Across America. Dave Ross and Amal Shaw here at Circus Sportsbook in fabulous downtown Las Vegas. Just to put a bow on the conversation we had in the last block, and I do love your A-listers here for potential rookies of the year in the NBA. And we were just kind of kidding around like, hey, you look back at the T-Wolves draft, and I don't know that there's a Steph Curry. I mean, you don't find Steph Currys who arguably now they're having the conversation of top 10 all time in the history of the league at 7, right? That normally doesn't happen, right? So if you go back to that draft, which you were doing with the T-Wolves, it was hard to identify that Steph would be somebody that's now got 4 rings, finals MVP, you know, 2 without Durant, 2 with Durant, because everybody looked at Durant and said, yeah, this kid's got worldly talent. We get it. There's nobody in this draft really that qualifies outside of the top 6, 5 that you go, yeah, those guys, I see it. They all have potential to be superstars in this league, right? But is there anybody that really goes, that's a Steph Curry, that's the guy they missed?
Well, I think Malachi Branham, not saying he's going to be Steph Curry, I mean, but I think the way he's a scorer with his size, playing for Greg Popovich, I think he's got a chance to be really special. You know, he was a guy who went to Ohio State. They had no thought he was going to the NBA. And then all of a sudden, come into conference play, goes out and scores like 35 in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hey, this guy can get a shot. He can knock down shots. He can really do some things. And I think that makes him a much more dangerous guy. You know, the one thing that was funny, I was texting somebody last night about, I forgot who they mentioned to me, some player. And I said, you know, the NBA and the NCAA might as well be two different sports. It's like college football and college basketball to a certain extent, right? You see great players, and the average fan gets enamored with a Johnny Manziel. You know, when you throw that ball in the triple coverage against Alabama, and just because A&M catches it, it's still a terrible play. But people go, they look at the result instead of necessarily what happened, and that's why they see that. And I think when you look in the collegiate ranks, there are certain players, college stymies their ability, right?
Yes.
You have zones, you have...
Ivy kind of feels like that. Right.
Look, Matt Painter's a good regular season coach, but his teams never flourish. They always fail. It's tradition at Purdue, right? Gene Katie never got to a Final Four. Right. Matt Painter keeping the tradition alive, having the best team in the Big Ten every year. We can't get it done. But I think Jaden Ivey's the guy you're going to look back and go, okay, when you look at what this guy can do with athleticism, here's the other thing I'd point out. I think his dad played basketball in the city of Detroit. And then his mom's the head coach in Notre Dame. So I think there's two factors that are there that many players don't bring to the table. And I think this is what applies to Stephen Clay. They're the sons of former players, coach, player, huge, similar, interchangeable, huge, coachable. They understand the work ethic it takes. I think all those things are a factor. And I think Jaden Ivey has got a chance to be really, really special.
Elliot Bowman, our producer, I just looked at him when you were taking those cheap shots at Matt. Not cheap, just shots at Matt Painter, I would say. And he's just shaking his head. By the way, Malachi Branham, by the way, 50-1 to beat Roy.
It's not a bad play. By the way, real quick, if I may defend myself, it's not shots when it's based in fact.
That's what I said. Not cheap shots.
No.
It's just, they're shots.
No, they're not shots.
They're not shots.
No. The bullet holes were already there.
So we'll see how that all plays out. By the way, very quickly, we mentioned Vancaro was the number one pick. If we could show the picture one more time, because I wonder if you were an exec and you knew he was going to wear that suit, would that have deterred you from making him the number one pick?
No, but I'm going to tell you right now, based on the chain alone, I would have said, you know what? This guy better ball because he's going to need to make up for the effort. You can't sell the PB. What are you selling it to, Skippy?
That will not stand the test of time. I say this all the time. That suit will not stand the test of time. And I know kids today are going to go, man, what are you talking about? Man, that thing is money. It is so fresh and so clean. No, it's not good. And it's not going to look good in 20 years.
I thought based on that suit, you know, somebody looked back and say, oh, he played at the University of Washington where he probably should have gone up in Seattle.
UW, I get it. He's just kids these days. Let's talk about the NFL a little bit. And I think the big news this week was Rob Gronkowski's retiring, air quotes. I don't know if he really is, but I do wonder how that affects your view. We've talked a little bit about Tampa Bay and certainly the Lightning, what they're doing. And we all kind of look at Brady. This is the swan song. This is the absolute only play you can make to win the division down in the South. They're going to be on the short list to get out of the NFC, which does not feel as daunting a task as it does the AFC, certainly the AFC West, and how good that division looks. But the Gronk news, I think just everybody assumed, hey, Brady's coming back. It's like Anchorman. You get out the seashell and you make the noise and everybody, you know, gets together. The boys get back together. One, do you buy this retirement? Even though I don't like two-part questions. Two, does it change the way you look at the Bucks at all from the futures market?
It changes a little bit. I took the second part first because I think Gronk, he's a guy that I appreciated as his career progressed. You know, one thing with Gronk, if you notice, you only tackle him if you get him below the knees. You're not bringing him down if you go thigh high or if you try to go at the waist or above the his shoulders. He's so strong and so big. I mean, it's unbelievable. You look at some of these guys like him. I think there's a couple of factors. One, Gronk plays a completely different position than Tom Brady. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady's greatness, but the way the rules of the games are today, if Tom Brady was playing his entire career from 1985 to 2005, I don't think he plays 20 plus years. Because some of those shots...
Oh, the Brett Favre era. Good Lord.
Troy Aikman, all these guys, the shots that they took. I think it helps nowadays that if you come within, you know, the area code of the quarterback, you might get flagged.
LeVar Arrington ended Troy Aikman's career with a play now that gets put in football jail.
Yeah.
Back then, I think you got a penalty and you play on. But, never played again. I mean, you hit guys back then at the boundary high. You can't do that today. Brady couldn't. Brady's not a guy that's going to run away from a lot of trouble like Elway had to do in the 80s, right? The mobile quarterback. Even Joe Montana, people forget because they look in precision passer. Montana can move a little bit in the pocket, right? So you've got to have that. Now, without Gronk there, I saw a stat. Since Brady and Gronk got together in Tampa, just in Tampa, do you know how many red zone interceptions Brady's thrown?
No.
Zero.
I think he threw, one in New England?
Gronk is such a safety and trusted valve for him that he, whether it's to Gronk or not, he makes the right read because he knows Gronk's going to be there if play A goes away, option B is going to be there. Without option B, I wonder if we're going to see some red zone mistakes out of Tom Brady because that security blanket doesn't mean you utilize him. I believe it's 48 touchdowns, no picks in that area. Think of that. He just doesn't make those mistakes in the red zone and big part of the reason is the trust factor of Gronk either blocking, Gronk being where he's going to be. That might be able to utilize Mike Evans and other guys, Godwin, you name it, even Cameron Brate. Because I know at the end of the day, if there's any trouble in any of my reads, the last read, if it is the last read, Gronk will be my safety valve.
Absolutely. And I don't believe Gronk's going to come back. The other reason is because the health factor. He's made enough money. I think Gronk's a guy, when young people that are, say, 10, 12, 15 years old now look back in 20 years, they're going to see Gronk as a television personality. They're not even going to know him for football. I think he's going to be a star on TV.
You're right.
And I think he's just saying, you know what? He lives in Marquee in Miami, okay? And I can tell you right now, life is pretty good living over there. And it's a good place to be. And he's got enough money. Why go through this hassle? You know, there's a chance they can get back to the Super Bowl. But I tell you, people don't realize how hard it is to keep yourself ready physically and then get ready during the season and to go through those 17 weeks now. It's tough.
It is. I think it surprised a lot of people. And again, because it's Gronk, the way he tweeted it out made it sound like maybe he'll be back. You just don't know. Maybe he misses part of the season. The one thing I think that Gronk has proven, that if this is just Gronk not wanting to go to training camp again, which, by the way, he didn't need to retire if that's all he wanted to do.
Correct. That's what
the
I'm saying.
The Bucs would have said, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't care. But like, he has proven he can get off the couch and probably be dependable. You know, we saw a broke down Gronk, right? We saw it in New England. And when he took he's already taken a full year off.
Yeah.
And then came back. And he, you know, remember the Super Bowl against Kansas City? A couple touchdowns. Dominant player. So this is a Hall of Famer. The other thing that's just amazing to me when I was really looking at this week is Tom Brady. Before they got Gronk in New England in 2010, Tom Brady had already won 3 Super Bowls, and I believe it had already been to 4. He'd already done half of his career without Gronk.
Yeah.
Like, people always marry Gronk and Brady together. Brady had a whole Hall of Fame career before Gronk. So the greatness of Gronk is yes, but I do not like the argument of, oh, Brady needs, it has to be Gronk. It might need to be that in 2022. It was not that for an entire decade of the 2000s.
I hadn't heard that argument before. The only thing I would say if people wanted to argue was in the first 3 Super Bowls, it was that defense doing a lot of work for New England.
But they put up points outside of the St. Louis game.
Yeah.
Against Carolina, they put up 20-plus. Yeah. Against the Eagles, they put up 20-plus. And they had to. Those games were really nip-tuck. If you remember, those are field goal games.
Right.
So Brady got that offense going, but they were more known for the defense to get him there.
No, absolutely. And I think, obviously, you'll miss him because of what he's capable of. I wish Gronk had the full health.
Yeah.
And was really able to play in an offense where they kind of did some different things, because I really think, you know, they talk about Tony Gonzalez, and I'm not taking anything away from him. He's been a great tight end. But to me, Gronk is as difficult of a matchup. And I get Travis Kelce and Kittle and these guys, but nobody can tackle Gronk. They can all bring these other guys down.
Well, and Gronk could block.
Yeah.
Right? Some of these other guys we're talking about were not blockers.
Correct.
Gronk could play the position. As Apollo said to Rocky at the end of Rocky III, it's too bad we got to get old. Just keep punching Apollo. When we come back, Mike Perano is going to join the program. He'll be over at Mandalay Bay. Come on back. It's Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
game. That's my
game.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located in the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager in the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back alongside Amal Shaw, I am Dave Ross. This is Betting Across America here on VSiN. Again, I look up as we're keeping an eye on the golf here going on right now. And Xander Schauffele still with a three-shot lead here midway through round number three. But I look up at the USFL and very quickly, Herschel Walker and the Philadelphia Stars up. No. Herschel was with the New Jersey Generals.
Correct.
Herschel's Generals are down 3-0 to the Philadelphia Stars, which had, do you remember any of the old, was it Kelvin Bryant, I believe, was the running back?
Oh, no, I didn't really.
Boy, I'm old. 3-0 right now, but a dead under it's looking like so far, at least in that first half. Let's get over to our guy, Mike Peranio, over at Mandalay Bay. Does a great job there as a sportsbook manager. Mike, great to have you here on a Saturday. Let's start there with the USFL. I know it's June. I know the NFL is king. Do you guys take a lot of action on USFL games, or how has it been overall in year number one for the USFL 2.0?
Yeah, it's not that good. CFL just started too, but they're in the semifinals now, so it's a playoff time. It's a little more action than before, and actually on some of my radio shows, they actually asked me to give an opinion on the USFL. So I've been kind of following it. It's been interesting, although I don't want to get political or anything if Herschel's involved. So
tell you one thing, Mike, it's been a great sport to bet the under on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked at a parlay ticket from yesterday. Must have been a good day in the baseball to bet the under, because I got a $100 parlay that paid $16,000 that they had on my desk this morning. So a little bit of a surprise. Every bet was under in a baseball game.
You'd be correct except for one game, which I had went over.
Wow.
The Mets and the Marlins.
That's the only one.
Technically,
he left it off, so he was pretty smart, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mike, we were talking about it, Amal and I, the craziness that ensued with the NBA draft. And, you know, it felt like, you know, the Sharps, obviously, we saw the numbers being changed dramatically in the 24 hours leading up to the NBA draft. And we saw a lot of the quote-unquote experts around the NBA, they're tweeting things out like, hey, it's going to be Smith number one and blah, blah, blah. How did you guys make out, and how did you kind of block out a lot of the noise and go with the numbers that you felt the smartest about with all that smoke out there?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's any kind of draft, whether it's NFL or NBA, it's something we have to be real careful. And I know I praise our BetMGM traders all the time, but these guys are on it, and they're very good at what they do. We stopped taking wagers on the draft Wednesday afternoon with, I think he started at 9-1, Banchero, and closed at plus 260, I think. So, but we had a lot of early money on Smith, Jabari, and we didn't really take any big wagers on Banchero. So we ended up doing pretty good on that. But you are exposed a little bit on these crazy draft things, whether it's football or basketball. It's interesting. And as we get closer to having an NBA team, we're probably going to be more involved in those type of bets, at least out of Nevada.
Mike, are you a little bit surprised that Paolo Banchero got that high simply because I thought the argument could have been made that any one of these three guys are going number one overall? I didn't feel like this is like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal or some player of that caliber where it was just everybody knew who you're taking number one, or Patrick Ewing, the best example I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, we did really well, actually, on the draft, which didn't take a lot of action. But as we closed the wagering well before the rumors started getting crazy. But you guys are 100% right. I mean, the rumors and if, you know, if you're just a casual bettor and you hear something or see something, you start firing away. You got to take a little heartbeat, a little rest, and make sure what you're reading and what you're seeing is actually fact, or if it's just the crazy internet.
Yeah, and Mike, you're seeing Ben Falks, what he tweeted out here about how basically the markets were right, Woj was wrong, and how this is going to reverberate in the industry for a while here. And you made the point about taking down the wagers a day before, and I know with the NFL draft, we here at VSiN, we're really trying to implore that to everybody. Hey, if you come out here on draft night, you can't make a wager legally in Las Vegas, certainly for the NFL draft. You mentioned an NBA team and the prospects, how that could change. Is that why you guys do take it down a day earlier? It feels like a smart safeguard, because with all the craziness that can ensue 24 hours before a draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ethically, you know, sportsbooks, and, you know, it might seem like an oxymoron, but sportsbooks are highly ethical. We're the people that report any kind of possible fixes. The fixes that they found were because Nevada found out about them and reported them. So, for example, Arizona State. So we do a lot of our work and keep things up and above board. So the draft, it's just not it's not just profits for us. I mean, we could keep it up, but you guys both know that when it's in Vegas and there's 100 people with ties to the teams from every team here, someone's going to know more than us, and it's just something we have to keep an eye on. And we shut it off, not just because we're afraid of getting hurt, but if someone has an unfair advantage, it's not fair to the people that are betting and maybe don't have that same information.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised to a certain extent, certain things that are voted on or, you know, a selection,
yeah,
that there's actually wagering available on that, because I feel like that's certain pertinent information you might be able to derive as an outsider and come in and make a wager based on that information.
Yeah, and again, you're right. It's there's gaming commissions in every state. If they just follow Nevada, where we've been doing it for so many years, they might be ahead of the game rather than try doing their own stuff. We just don't take wagers like that, and there's a reason. If it's voted on, you know, people come up and ask if they can bet Survivor. I go, yeah, that was taped like 8 months ago. You know, we're not going to put lines up on that. And if we did, even if we made money, if we put up lines to take advantage of people, that's not ethical either. So it's a two-way street, and Nevada's the king of being ethical.
Yeah, I'm still amazed by that people are like, Mike, can you give me a number here on that? No, that event happened 4 months ago. Mike, let's talk about events still going on. That's the Stanley Cup Finals here. And I didn't know that we'd be talking hockey today, but Tampa Bay is still alive and kicking here as they win Game 5. What are you seeing for Game 6 so far? Pretty close line here before we get to Game 6 down in Tampa. And are you guys rooting one way or the other here in the series overall?
Yeah, I mean, we still, you know, we've talked about this over the weeks coming into this, that, you know, the Avalanche were bad for us, and so it's, you know, not quite as bad as Golden State, but it's evened up a little bit. It's not a big decision. Both decisions are minor, but Tampa's a winner for us, and the Avalanche is obviously a loser. But last night was a good win for us, and that was a key to extending this series, and it may be extended until football season if they keep taking time between games. So almost to a point of ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Well, I got to defend the NHL. They only had the 3 days in between.
The NBA takes
the NBA, I mean, I'm surprised we've gotten game two of the NBA Finals in before August.
Well, it's travel time, and as you know, hockey, they take covered wagons. So it's
Right about that.
But you're right, Mike. It does feel like, look, we love the NBA playoffs and certainly the NHL playoffs, but it does feel like it takes a long time to get to A to Z to finish this off. We'll find out if we get a winner down in Tampa in Game 6 or extend this back to Game 7. Very quickly, we mentioned the unders and how that's kind of been trendy, at least yesterday, in Major League Baseball. Mike, what are you seeing? Are people still hopping in on, like, are they buying in fully on the Yankees and Mets here as the favorites maybe to win the American League and the National League?
Yeah, I mean, it's typical for every parlay to have the Yankees and the Mets in them. So we need one of those days where both teams lose or at least split to make parlays on a regular basis. And although you're seeing the Yankees stumbling a little bit finally, it looked like they may break the record by a lot of games for most wins in the season. But it seems like even the Mets are struggling. The scary thing is the Mets are going to get back to maybe the better pitchers in baseball, and they're not even playing right now, if I'm not mistaken. They've got two guys coming up here shortly that are, you know, pretty much aces on any other team, and look at what they've done so far. So as much as the publicity the Yankees are getting, I think the Mets, if they get pitching back, they might even be better. It's hopefully we can get one of these Subway Series, maybe. It'd be fun.
Mike, you got a chance to win against the Bombers today. They don't have a hit through 8 innings.
Down 2-0 as they play the 9th inning against the Stros. Wow. Hey, Mike, really appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your sports betting Saturday. We'll catch up with you again next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Mike Brania, Racing Sportsbook Manager over at Mandalay Bay. You mentioned the Yankees. No hits through 8. Stros up 2-0, so Mike might be liking that if the Yankees come out on the wrong side today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we've got much more to get to as we begin hour number 2 when you come back with us, Betting Across America, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here's the thing.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.